We'll turn now once again for our message this morning to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7, looking at the fall of man and paying particular attention to Satan's devices, Satan's tactics against man. I'm going to read now Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 before we begin. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. May the Lord bless the reading of his infallible word. This morning's message is entitled Satan's Devices in the Garden of Eden. Satan's Devices in the Garden of Eden. And while this did take place in the Garden of Eden, I believe we can learn much of how the devil attacks us, even to this very day. There's often questions that are asked in the world, especially when people will go evangelizing. I don't know if you've ever heard these questions. Why is there war in the world? Why is there suffering? Why is there pain, death, murder? And these questions often come up because the atheist or the unbeliever in the world will often think, well, God is all-powerful. Why is there any suffering in the world? And I fear that if we are ignorant of Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, there's the potential to foolishly blame God. We should know from Genesis chapter 1 that God created everything good. Even man was created good. Even originally the devil was good. Of course, he fell. But we must understand these chapters. I remember, I think it was the first sermon I'd ever attended, the minister at the time emphasized the necessity of understanding the first few chapters of the Bible, or else sin will make no sense. That has always stuck with me. Always. We must understand these chapters, and we're going to look at these seven verses to give us a glimpse of what went wrong and why things are the way they are, so that we are not in ignorance, and that we are not foolishly blaming God. And there is a war. There is a war going on around us. At various points we may see it. It may manifest itself in various different ways. At the moment, Brexit has everybody fighting with each other, but we can see that there is division in the world. There is war. Why is that? If God created the world perfect, why is it seemingly to our eyes looking like a mess, looking like a chaotic mess. And as we'll find out this morning, there is an enemy. There is an enemy. And as in any war, we must not be naive in trusting that enemy. And this enemy is not like any other enemy. Sometimes, perhaps, an enemy may seek your good. Rarely, of course. But this enemy, Satan, speaking through the serpent here in the Garden of Eden, never, ever seeks your good and is out to destroy. I think in our modern world, the thoughts of there being even a devil, we don't even like to think about it. But he exists. And he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So what can we learn from these first seven verses so that it will help us so we don't follow Adam's example in the garden? Our message will be under these four headings. Number one, Satan wants you to doubt God's word. Number two, Satan wants you to deny God's word. Number three, Satan wants you to deify yourself. And number four, Satan wants you to die. Number one, Satan wants you to doubt God's word. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle, that is more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" There's a lot here. And there's different tactics that Satan uses. We also have to remember the context. At this point in time, Adam and Eve do not have a sin nature. They were able to fall, of course, but they did not have a sin nature like you and I have. But the devil, speaking through the serpent, asks a question. And notice the question he asks. "Yea, hath God said?" Did God really say, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden"? Notice how the question is phrased. "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." What was the commandment? The command is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Actually, we'll read from verse 15 for context. Genesis 2, 15 to 17 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." But then look at the serpent, how he phrased it. "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." It's been framed very negatively. What do you mean you can't sit everywhere in this church? Tell me where I can't sit. The command was, you can eat any tree of the garden. You have complete freedom. You are to keep, to dress it, to maintain it, a perfect place on earth, a paradise to go about as you see fit. I have one request. This one tree, do not eat of it. Notice the way it is phrased. One, it is seen as it's very positive. God owns everything, and it belongs to him. And this was really a test of loyalty, a test of the obedience of Adam. Would Adam continue to obey God? Adam was created upright. He was created holy, but he fell from that later. But how does the devil, how does the serpent start? He doesn't start off with just saying, he doesn't start off openly attacking the word of God. He doesn't just say nonsense or that is foolish straight away. At this point in time, he is coming toward Adam and Eve. Well, he comes towards Eve, who is at that point in fellowship with God, in right relationship with God, without a sin nature, and poses the question, yea, if God said, did God really say that? Are you sure? If it came out openly, it would not work. And Satan is not always obvious in how he operates and how he uses people. And believe you, friends, he does use people. He even uses people within the visible church. It adds doubt. It adds doubt just by asking the question, did God really say that? In the church today, in the visible church, or at least what is called the visible church, people ask things about the opening five books of the Bible, and they'll say, well, did Moses really write that? We're not sure. And they'll come up with all these theories about how it was pieced together. What does it do? They'll say, well, we don't really deny the word of God. We're just not exactly sure if this part is really part of it. Adding the question mark over it. And there may be good intentions at times along the way when this happens. But does it lead to confidence in God's word, in his providence? Even sadly today, in many, many pulpits, much of the scriptures itself has a question mark over it. Yea, hath God said. Adding doubt to God's sacred word. We must remember that God has preserved his word and kept it pure in all generations. As our Westminster Confession of Faith says in chapter 1, paragraph 8. Satan begins with doubt. He may even use sincere people to spread that doubt. But the devil begins with doubt among people who are not at war with God. We always look for the obvious, but let us be Bereans at all times, comparing with the word of God. But how does Eve respond here? How does Eve respond? And the woman said, verse 2 of Genesis chapter 3, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now the effect of some doubt has come into Eve. And how do we know this? She has added to God's word. The commandment said, don't eat of the tree. She's added a little bit and she says, neither shall ye touch it. We have sometimes when we might have the tendency, if we have a doubt over something, let's put an extra layer of protection around it. It is not recorded here. They are told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The devil wants to make you doubt. And it will start there. No one wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what, I think I'm a liberal. I think I'm going to reject much of the scriptures. Much like the frog and the temperature of the water being raised, it can often happen in a church setting. So we must always be diligent that we're confident in God's holy word. And Satan will try to make you doubt it in ways that may even sound very intellectually convincing. Here, doubt entered into Eve's mind, and she added to God's word. And the devil is quite happy for us to take away from the word of God and to add to it. Neither of them are good. But how does the enemy respond to Eve's doubt? This is where Satan comes in, and this is where the open attack begins on the word of God. Because remember, this is the word of God in the Garden of Eden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. This is the command. This is what they had to obey. Number two, Satan wants you to deny God's word. He wants you to deny God's word. And as soon as this response comes in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And I think perhaps in English, the full force of this denial can sometimes be slightly lost. You could also say it like this, surely you shall not die. Literally in Hebrew, dying you shall not die. Satan is saying to the commandment of which God gave, no, emphatically it will not happen. And it was in response to what? Eve's doubt. And it will happen in our Christian walks at times, brethren, when we're in times of doubt. When we're in times of doubt is when we need to be on our knees before God and poring over the scriptures prayerfully with tears, meditating upon them, because I can guarantee you the devil will not give you respite. He will swoop in with attacks upon the word of God when you begin to doubt. Just like he did with Eve here. Now comes the open attack upon God's word. It's almost as if he's saying, nonsense. That won't happen. I want you to notice another thing as well. Satan comes initially as a friend. Just asking a question. Just asking a sincere question. And as soon as doubt creeps in, this is when the open attack begins. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now there's a danger in which we're fixated upon the devil. We need to be fixated and in awe of God. But we are not ignorant at the same time. If we have a balanced Christian walk, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He comes beautiful, glorious. He may even present himself to you as extremely nice. But Satan's goal is never, ever, ever to help you. It's never to help you. It's always to harm you. And I think we find that very, very hard to get our heads around. I don't think we've ever met somebody in real life. Okay, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners and we've seen evil around us. But I don't think we've ever seen or met a creature who is at all times set out to destroy you. We find it hard to wrap our minds around. Satan is always there to harm you. The best for you is to obey God. The best for you is to repent of your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ. But the devil wants you to doubt that and to deny that and to run away from that and to fear that. He gets you to see the commandments of God in a negative light. God is holding something back from you. You see that tree? He doesn't want you to go near it. He knows it's going to be something better. Isn't that sometimes what entices us to sin? We briefly, foolishly, perhaps momentarily think that something in that sin, whatever it is somehow better than what God is giving us. Even in this world, even prior to entering eternity, there is joy and peace in Christ Jesus even today, brethren. But you must be in Him and you must trust in Him and you must have confidence in Him. That lie that God is holding something back from you. You shall not surely die. It's making God out to be a liar. Verse 5, and here comes the accusation. For this is what the devil does. He is a slanderer. He will spread rumors. He will spread gossip. Verse 5, for God doth know that in a day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This laboring accusation against God. He's saying, God's trying to keep this back from you. You're going to be like Him. The word here, you shall be as gods. It can be either translated gods or God. The word Elohim, used in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the world. You shall be like Him. He's not really unique. You're going to be like Him. He's keeping that back from you. You can be a God yourself. And this is actually, there are people in the world today who actually teach this openly. A couple of years ago in the History Channel, there was a documentary that was talking about Gnosticism, modern Gnosticism. And also, there was a form of it in the early church. Gnosticism basically said this. There's different forms of it, but the devil is really your friend, offering you a way to escape. And God is a tyrant, trapping you within the Garden of Eden. And you'd be surprised how many people believe that. And every time we sin, every time we rebel and run away from God, we act like God is a tyrant. And we act like the devil is our friend. Number 3. Satan wants you to deify yourself. Satan wants you to deify yourself. And as we said, shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Satan wants you to join him in his rebellion against God. He wants you to come with him. He wants you to make your own rules. We turn now to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. And he wants, Satan here wants, the woman, later she'll be called Eve, to believe that she can become God. And what God is holding back from you is that privilege. How does this look like in society? When you go around, people will often say things like this: you don't need God for morals. You don't need God to know what is right and what is wrong. You'll often hear this. What is that saying? We, society, we can decide. We can decide what is good. We can decide what is right and evil. And sure, that may change, but we're learning, we're growing. We're coming more and more, what? Like God. Once you have the knowledge, once your eyes are open to the things we were once ignorant of, you can now decide. Everyone becomes their own lawgiver, which really is lawlessness. Lawlessness. Eastern religions would say things like, God is something you can be. We started off, according to this teaching, as a tiny cell. Meant long, long time ago. Sounds like a fairy tale. And then we gradually evolved according to this view. And some people believe we'll gradually evolve into being something greater than human. It's the same lie over and over. The wonderful thing about it is it's very predictable. If you know what Satan's devices are. We may even think perhaps the scriptures don't say too much about what the devil does. It's the same tactics over and over. Young children, teenagers, how do you respond to the rule of your parents in the home? Do you follow the example of the devil, which is saying, I'll make my own rules. No, this is my bedroom, you can't come in here. No, you don't make the rules. Your parents do. Honor your father and your mother. The fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment is not even just talking about natural fathers and mothers. It's talking about all those in authority. This also applies for those adults in your work. Do you submit to your boss when it is not sinful in and of itself? Do you set a godly example? Are you the first person in and the last person to leave? Do you work the hardest? Dear Christians, we should be in our place of work. The people, they may not agree with us, but may our testimony be this. They might even think, I can't stand what he believes, but he loves his God. He loves to read the scriptures. He'll even annoy me at the lunch break sharing the gospel with me. But they'll know this much about you. You're a hard worker. If you reject those in authority, the fifth commandment, and this is one commandment, and you're following the example, you are saying, I can be as God, Elohim. And that word Elohim, as we said, can be translated God, the God of all heaven and earth. It can be pagan gods, plural. And it can also be judges in Psalm 82, verse 6. But the one who makes the rules. The one who makes the rules. And are we submitting to God? Are we submitting to God? Do you wish to follow God? Do you wish to be conformed to His image? Yes, we will sin. Yes, we will fall down. And yes, we do fail on a daily basis. And God is merciful. And God looks with delight upon His children who are in Christ Jesus. But do you desire this very day to be more and more like Christ? As you grow, you'll and there's a sense in which you'll loathe yourself more. You'll see more of your sin. Some of the greatest saints who've ever walked upon the face of the earth, near the ends of their lives, have all come to this conclusion: what a vile wretch am I. But at the same time, their joy and their peace and their confidence in Christ also increased. Or the other alternative is you're establishing your own rule, your own kingdom. And that can be a small, puny kingdom where you say, no, no, this is my place. I will not submit. Number four, Satan wants you to die. Satan wants you to die. And we have to remind ourselves, Satan knew what the commandment was. He was not ignorant of the commandment. Satan's not ignorant of the word of God either, as we read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Satan quotes scripture. Satan can probably quote more scripture than any of us combined. If you look at the most... Sometimes we think somebody is quoting the Bible, therefore they must love God. Some of the most evil books on this earth by New Age writers quote the Word of God. The question is, do we bow down to it? Do we love it? Do we tremble before it? Do we hide it in our hearts that we would not sin against God? But why does Satan... Somebody might think, well, why does Satan want me? Why does he hate me? Because you were created in God's image. You were created in God's image. His war is really with God. And he wants you to join him in that rebellion against God. An attack on God's image is really an attack on God himself. And in Genesis 9:6, we have the death penalty given to all nations. In Genesis 9:6, it says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." And this death penalty was given to all the nations. An attack upon God's image. It's an attack upon God. And he cannot hurt God. God is all powerful. And God cannot change. And he cannot suffer. But Satan will try to make us suffer, his people suffer. And there's a sense in which comfort can be taken from this if you do feel assailed by the devil, especially perhaps if you're a young Christian. Know this: why are you under attack? Because you're one of his children. You're one of his children. Tragically, Eve listens to the serpent and then looks, verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, And it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. God never said that there was anything wrong with the tree itself. The tree was a test of obedience. Eve is listening to the devil. And this is kind of the problem. The more and more you listen to the devil, the more and more you may think like him. But then she looks over and thinks, there's nothing wrong with this tree. It's good for food. It's pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All on display. A tree desired to make one wise. There was nothing wrong with the tree in and of itself. It was a test of obedience. It would show if Adam, Eve here, would obey and stay in covenant with God. This was the test. And she took of the fruit and did eat. She gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And in so doing, what does she accuse God of? Satan accuses God of being a liar. And Eve now agrees with him. This is what sin is. God's word says this thing. It warns of death against sinners and against sin. This is why sin is so serious. Sin is war with God. War. I find it tragic in our modern church setting, we water down so many terms. So many terms. Sin is war with God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this brings death, as Satan planned, as Satan wanted. And their eyes were open. They were indeed opened. Satan will give you a half-truth. Their eyes were opened, but were they opened to being, oh, we're going to be like God. Well, we'll know good and evil. We'll be just... No. There's a part-truth there, but there's a massive disappointment. There's a massive lie from the devil. And their eyes were both opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Were their eyes open to their potential, their greatness to be as God? No. Their eyes were open to their shame, to their guilt, to their nakedness, to their stupidity. Satan brings death, destruction. And here to the ones who had no sin nature. How much more do we, while being in Christ Jesus, while being regenerated by the Spirit of God, we still have that old nature in us. We still wrestle with that old nature in us, as described in Romans chapter 7. And the thing that we need to ask ourselves this day is, are you listening to Him? Are you listening to Him? If you ever met somebody with the record of the devil, who is just a liar, a manipulator, and you saw a friend of yours going up to him and talking to him, he said, why are you listening to him? Get away from him. He's bad news. Why would you listen to the devil? Someone who is brought destruction and chaos and encourages rebellion against God. You may have been brought up in a Christian home. You may have come to church every Sabbath since you were born. That does not mean you have saving faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that each and every single one of you here does. I pray that each and every one of you has repented of your sins and placed your confidence and hope in Christ. The question is not, do you remember when you came to Christ? You may have come to Christ at a young age. The question is, do you love Christ today? When you do fall into sin, that your Heavenly Father chastens you and corrects you, and that you grow in your hatred of sin, and you grow in your love of Him. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about our direction in holiness. And if you haven't repented, if you've never been born again, are you listening to the lies of the enemy of your soul? He is not your friend. He brought about death and destruction. He came in to a paradise. A paradise that was perfection. Do you obey the voice of God? And as we'll see tonight, as we look tonight, fig leaves. Verse 7. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. Their attempts to cover their nakedness was pathetic. Fig leaves. Your own works, your own fig leaves cannot cover your nakedness and your sin before a holy and almighty God. You need to be covered. You need to be clothed. But you need to be clothed by God. And by God alone. Amen.